two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Final day for Scott and I to for sure be able to run a lap around everybody and say that our brackets are leading the KSLSports.com.
Smartest people in this room right now.
Scott and I tied for the lead. There's no way that's going to last. Sweet 16 fires up tonight.
Well, nothing in life lasts, including the Jazz winning. You know?
No, man.
I thought it would last.
We said it last night. I go, last. You start to set everything up and go, look how amazing this team has gone. Look at this. These last two games. Explain to us what's happened on these last two games. Every expert we have come on with us, try to explain what's going on. And then at the end of everything, before we got into pregame last night, I went, watch them lose this game. Watch them lose this game, because if there's something that you're not able to put your finger on this year, it's exactly how game to game this Jazz team is going to perform. And so, take the L last night to a Trailblazers team that had lost six in a row. The Jazz coming off of maybe their two most impressive wins of the season, considering their lineup that they had for those two games. But to help us break it all down, he, of course, does the TV portion. And the Most Dressed Best Award usually goes to him. Between he and Alema, they fight over it every night. From AT&T Sportsnet, he is Mike Smith on the program here with us. Mike, what's up, man?
That's very kind, Alex. And if you knew that I spent probably 15 minutes getting ready, and you knew that Alema spent a day and a half.
Yeah.
Well, we know that. We know that. Look, it's a skill. It's a talent to be able to get ready in 15 minutes and look good.
I would take tips from either one of you guys, too, by the way.
Oh, you guys are nice. I'm actually making right now at home this gross turmeric shake. It's not that tasty. I need to go on the soda plan, because whatever I'm doing might be working, but it tastes like garbage.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, turmeric is not part of the soda diet. Just so if that makes you feel any better.
Actually, I could see them going, do you have access to turmeric? I go, no. What color is turmeric? That's like a bright orange, isn't it? Like, what's going on with it?
Yeah, it's almost like a Tennessee orange. It's odd, but yeah, it's supposed to be really good for
you. It is good for you.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe later tonight. Maybe even sooner.
Hopefully you get through the interview.
Yeah. Mike, we're really excited about this team. We have been all year, and I've just signed my life over to not caring about whatever. I can't live and die by each outcome of every game. I love how they play. I have requirements for most of these games, which is I want to see Lowry score a lot of points. He's your all-star. I want these games to be close. Initially, I said, and then I want you to lose those close games. Last night, I went, turn it up. I want to see a win. And, of course, as soon as I say that, it doesn't happen. What was the difference last night between what you had seen the previous two games where we were so impressed by this this young Will Hardy group?
It might just have been a little bit of human nature. And Scott knows it well. I know it well. You try and prepare the same way for every opponent in every game, but there's just a natural high to get up for the Boston Celtics. And the same for Sacramento. And, you know, Walker Kessler, who'd played very little or had done very little, let's say, against Sacramento. And in the previous meetings where Sabonis had gone for 25, 15, and 8. And then Kessler comes out and dominates the game. And so Scott knows it. I know it. There's just that thing you almost can't coach, you can't teach, or you can't un-coach, right? Which is human nature. And I'm sure the Jazz, after those two wins, looked at the standings. They jumped up. They, like I, because I did this too, on Tuesday night, I said, wait, Oklahoma City's playing the Clippers in L.A.? They're going down. And if they go down, and tomorrow night the Jazz beat Portland, and Golden State beats Dallas, and Minnesota loses, the Jazz will be 7. Like, I was already making all those moves in my head. And almost not, well, only Golden State beat Dallas. The other things did not happen the way you might have thought. But I don't know. I feel like it's not that they didn't try. It's not that they didn't care. I think it's actually a little bit of that, the human nature factor. When you looked at Portland, they're missing Jeremy Grant, Manfredi Simons, and you say, okay, they're missing 40 points. And they've probably read Lillard's comments in the paper leading up to the game, like, you know, why are we playing these? Right. And when am I going to shut it down? And give Lillard credit. He's had a fantastic, if not entire season, where his career best, 32 points a game, but the last 2 months, 38 points a game, including a 50, a 60, and a 71-point game. He arguably, in my mind, is the most exciting player to watch in basketball. And last night, the Jazz, on the heels of employing this new zone, which worked with great success against Boston and Sacramento and took them out of their normal sets, they tried it for a third game in a row. And I opened the show with a lemma last night, and I said, let me just tell you this. NBA scouts are smart. NBA assistant coaches are smart, and so are head coaches. And the Blazers have now seen the Jazz, their previous two ball games. They know exactly what this zone looks like. They will be prepared. And the three of us could probably collaboratively say they were prepared.
Yeah, they chopped it up.
Where to move the ball, how to get open shots. And even though they made it tough on Lillard, right, who goes 2 for 10 from deep, ends up with a tough 30, three other guys score 20 or more, and the Jazz can't score enough to beat them.
So the West, the second, you know, the lower half of the playoff race is like the financial markets today. I mean, it is. It's up and down and all over the place. And so, you know, you kind of grab the emotion of that, right, as a Jazz fan. You're like, but the thing is it's like if they lose, they win, and if they win, they win. And so, it's kind of a unique position to be in. I'm curious, though, about Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton, and they've been out for quite some time. And because of that, so many of these other players have really gotten a big opportunity or a bigger opportunity, and they've really taken advantage of it. Do you bring those guys back at this point? I mean, there's 10 games in the season. You know, what's the strategy about these guys? Or are they still really hurt and they're still really out? I mean, when do you bring them back, or do you?
I think those are all fair questions, Scott. Like, Jordan's gone from a sprained, you know, finger on the one hand to now a sprained finger on the other hand. And, I mean, I don't speak for the team, right? Like, I don't know the inner workings of how hurt they really are, you know, how much they're pushing. But I see Sexton out there warming up before the game, and I'll walk by him and talk to him, and I say, dude, we miss you out there. He goes, I'll be back soon, you know, and that was two games ago. And so I think they're being extra cautious with things like that. And Markkanen falling last night and probably spraining, not really injuring, but maybe aggravating a left wrist, it looked like. But he played through it, to his credit. What a stud. So I think those are all fair questions. I think the bigger picture and issue is one that we all agree upon. And you said it, Scott, if they win, they win, and if they lose, they win. And what they did early on and this entire season, and speaking from the coach on down through the players, is they have sold themselves with great play, great sacrifice, passion, and just fun basketball to this fan base. And so we've all fallen for them. Like, I fell for them early, and I'm like, I love this team. This team's awesome.
Yeah, you had me at hello.
I really don't care. Yeah, like, I really don't care if they win or lose, but they start 10-3, and, you know, they beat Minnesota and New Orleans in overtime in the first week of the season. You're like, what? You know, and now there's even more reasons to fall for them and root for them, like the development of a Markkanen into an all-star and Ochai becoming a legitimate two-guard in the league, or at least the chance to be. Kessler looks like your future center forever. You know, if a guy like Chris Dunn, who you find from nowhere, his fifth chance, right, his fifth team in 7 years with a fresh start, and golly, he's got such a great attitude. He pulled me aside the other day. He goes, Mike, I got so much fight left. No one knows how much fight I got left. And I'm like, dude, just go keep playing. Keep proving all the naysayers wrong and go win yourself a job. And he played great last night. He played great against Sacramento. And so, I don't know. I mean, we knew early on this year was about development. It was about evaluation. It was about, okay, we have picks. Those will be used later. What do we have? And which pieces do we like? And, you know, Talen Horton Tucker's been a surprise. Call him an imperfect player, but how about some perfect imperfection, right? He's just quirky enough that he's different. And the fact that they run him at point guard at 6'4 and 220 and a 7'1" wingspan, he's different enough. I pulled him aside the other day. I said, do you remember a guy for the Bucks named Paul Pressey? He's like, no. I said, oh, yeah, my bad. My bad. He played before you were born. And he's like, well, he said, who was he? And I said, he was a 6'7 forward who Don Nelson for the Bucks in the 80s turned into a point forward. And they coined the phrase. And I said, he's built like you. And Talen's like, I never heard of him. And I said, you're more powerful. He was more smooth. I said, but you have similar characteristics. Like, you can get to the hole. You've got an innate ability to pass. You're a good layup maker. He's a good layup maker. He was a, you know, mediocre shooter who became a good shooter. I said, that, I think, is your future. You can become a really good shooter. And his eyes just lit up, right? And I'm just connecting with the players. Nobody's paying me to put thoughts in their head. And he looked at me and goes, I'm going to look up this Pressey guy. I'm going to see what I can be. And I said, you know what? It'd be a great model for you because he played for 14 years and he was awesome.
Mike, one of the things I wondered too, I think when we got into the season, we were all going, well, we know that this young coach has a lot of future in front of him, but man, when you get a season laid out for you that everybody else says, yeah, but you're supposed to be bad and you're going to be bad and it's going to be a rebuild, it's going to be a retool, whatever you want to call it. What is this season like? What has this meant for Will Hardy in how he's been able to develop? And what do you think the best thing that he's been able to develop this year has been as a first-year head coach?
When I saw him and met him early on, the first thing that struck me is that he was an English major. And so my first thought was, okay, this guy can write. And he's smart. And then the next thing I learned is that before he got the gig in San Antonio, he was like 2 days from taking a job to go write speeches for congressmen in Washington and politicians. And that was his only job he had coming out of college. And it's been well documented, the story that, you know, somebody took an interest in him and made a call to Popovich and said, you ought to take a look at this kid. And he goes and he flies in, interview, he gets the gig, and, you know, whatever. 10, 12 years later, he's here with the Jazz. But from that and from my interaction with him, I learned early on he's just a great communicator. And he said things that he learned in Boston. Like, he said things that the typical young new coach wouldn't say. He goes, I'm going to be very cautious that my voice doesn't become overused to the players. He said, I'm going to find the right leader on this team, be it Mike Conley or Jordan Clarkson. I'm going to have them sometimes deliver the message. because I never want to wear out my voice. And so he learned that in Boston. He wasn't the head guy, but, you know, Ime Udoka's the head guy. But Ime would pull Al Horford aside and said, hey, you guys need a meeting. You run it. And the coaches would kind of step aside. And it's, Scott, you know it from playing professional sports, right? We hear a lot of the same words from the same guys all the time, meaning the coach. And a lot of guys after a while can drown it out. That's never happened with this team.
But yeah.
Will's message, his energy, his ability to motivate and inspire and connect with these players has remained fresh all season long. That might be his greatest attribute.
Yeah, I've been super impressed with him.
If he can continue to do that, wow.
And you listen to him in his press conferences and how he very eloquently and very detail-oriented will talk about a player and their development and the processes that they're going through and the thought processes they have as coaches about these players. You know, you heard him talk about Simone Fontecchio or Talon Horton Tucker, and just, you know, we want them to be this player. He talked about Azubuike and how, you know, very, very rarely played and how big a deal it was, you know, that he's been putting in this time. It was just, I pick up on that, and I appreciate that. I know as a former player, you definitely do. I will say, though, that Don Shula, you kind of always had to listen to his voice, and he had a way of speaking that got a point across, so you never got bored with his voice. I'm curious, though, Mike, what of this makeup of this team this year do you see moving forward? And I know people talk about, you know, Markkanen and Walker Kessler and Ochai Agbaji, but what about some of these other guys? I mean, where's Chris Dunn? Where's Talon Horton Tucker? Are these guys, are they part of the solution? Are they part of the Jazz's big time plan? Or Kelly Olynyk, you know, for that matter? I mean, do they fit in? Do they make sense, I guess?
That's a great question. As much as I might play golf with my buddy Danny Ainge in the summer and in the off season, he doesn't yet pay me to tell him what I think about, you know, personnel. He it's funny, he used to, and I lived on the West Coast and he was in Boston. He'd call me all the time and say, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about this guy? But it's just, we just have this unique relationship where we talk about everything, including basketball. But so, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's the real answer. I can give you basketball opinion, Mike Smith.
Well, I like that. I yeah. That's let's go there.
That's what we're paying you for, right? I mean, come on.
The big bucks.
Right.
You know how I feel about Walker, because yep. I saw it early. I saw his mobility. I saw his personality. I saw his drive. I saw the soft hands. Markkanen is a surprise, I think, to everyone in the organization that he could take the leap from 15 points a game to 25 and do it with efficiency. The other guys have been like, let's call them latter-day revelations or just late-season revelations. Like Ochai, when I meet him, at training camp, is talking more about his sister, who's a year or two older and a four-year starter at Texas on a Division I volleyball squad, as the best athlete in the family. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, what? Dude, you're the MVP of the Final Four and a national champion and a first-round draft pick in the NBA. And I'm not saying this, I'm thinking this. I'm like, you got to have something in there. And I think, and I don't know, but I think his sister's always been the celebrated one in the family. And so he kind of just assumes that role, takes that role. And I thought maybe he wasn't an alpha. But, Scott, you know, in this league, you got to be an alpha to survive. But I think he is. And I think it's just now surfacing. And I've seen plays of late, like his 27 points two nights ago, where he's making and taking shots so freely that I'm like, okay. Like, he's not only seeing things, he's capitalizing, he's recognizing, he's unafraid, he's fearless. And that's how you got to be in this league. You can't play not to lose or not to make a mistake. You got to play to win and play to make a difference. So that's kind of how I feel about him. I think he's a future piece. I think Talon could be. I think Chris Dunn is. And, you know, whether or not he's your starting point guard on a championship team, I'm not sure. But if Chris Dunn is your backup point guard, like, say, your sixth or seventh best player on an NBA team, remember he was the fifth pick in the draft 7 years ago,
Yeah. You
got a pretty good team. And so I think of things that way. Kelly's a piece to the puzzle. You know, I don't view Kelly as ever being an all-star. Kelly would join you on this same call and say, yeah, I'll probably never be an all-star in the NBA. I'm 31, you know, but I'm different enough that I can help a team win. And that's exactly what he is. So I think some of these other guys you're thinking of and looking at, it all depends what other pieces come and who they draft. And then it'll all kind of make sense, right? Like, give Danny some credit. All the picks he had in Boston, he didn't get them all right. And I would say this to his face, right? Like, he didn't knock home runs with all of them. But, like, Marcus Smart is a surefire double. Let's call him a Pete Rose, right? Or a Tris Speaker. They led the majors in doubles. But then you got Jaylen Brown. He's a surefire triple. He's a Sam Crawford. Sam Crawford had the most triples in Major League Baseball history. Second was the great Ty Cobb.
Wow.
And then, of course, you draft a Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum's a home run. So out of, let's say, I don't know, 12, let's just say 12 decent first-round picks, he got three of them really right. And three of them really right with some other astute moves like re-signing an Al Horford, trading for a Derek White. They're in the finals last year. They should have won it.
Mike, I'm a Seattle guy. I'm a Seattle guy, so I'm trying to figure out who the Ichiro on this team is. You know, I'm like the
singles,
just singles. All singles, just a slap other way single.
Yeah,
Chris Dunn's kind of maybe that player.
Yeah.
In Scott's metaphor of, you know, the world of the markets and trading options daily, if we could all hit singles daily like Ichiro, we'd be happy.
Mike Smith, you can hear him during pregame almost every home game and away game with the guys Tim and Jake as they jam. That very first segment is always my favorite because Mike gets in there and just they don't even. Sometimes you guys don't even get to the game. It's like I got some life stuff to talk about. That's why it's great. So Mike, we love having you on the show. I love getting the breakdown, the intellectual breakdown we need on this show from time to time, and you bring that. So thanks for doing that for us, and we'll chat with you again, man.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There you go.
Be good.
Oh, Mike Smith.
Yeah, we are certainly not intellectual.
No. That's why you got to bring Mike on.
We need intellectual.
And when he said, I mean, listen, I.
I mean, we're just lectual. You know, we're just, I don't know what that means.
You're anti-lectual.
Anti-lectual?
Yeah. it's like the opposite. You're like, no, don't bring that in here.
It's like anti-pasta.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anti-lectual.
It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. So,
the Yankees are up 18%.
What does that mean?
They're worth $7.1 billion.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw this. Yeah. Like, and that just means every sports team is up.
Yeah.
Cowboys, if Jerry Jones sold the Cowboys today, what do you think they'd sell for? $10 billion, right?
Probably.
Like, what's their Forbes value, though? They've got to be up there. It's usually the Yankees, Manchester United.
Let's go, Yankees.
It's usually the Yankees, Manchester United, maybe Liverpool, and then eight
million.
According to this. But again, They throw those numbers out, and it doesn't mean anything until somebody buys it. And every time that a team has been bought in recent memory, it goes for another 30% on top of the on top of that. It seems like.
Yeah. You know what gets me through my day?
Huh?
The conversations that we have.
Off the air.
Off the air.
Yeah.
It really does. I really, and I probably shouldn't say this to our listeners, because we really appreciate you tuning in. And we try to bring a great show every day. We really do. And I get a lot of feedback from a lot of people, and I appreciate it. And I know a lot of you are out there listening right now, so thank you. But, man, I'll tell you what. The conversations we have off the air are special. It gets me through the day. It does.
I'm trying to think of what the most interesting. Oh, there's been, yeah. There's some fun stuff that's going on in the background. Yeah, I love it. And look, maybe one day we'll be able to. Maybe we just put it in the podcast. We just have like the unrivaled. No, post show unrivaled.
I would need like a Patreon or something, a few bucks a month to get that.
Yeah,
content.
Make somebody pay for it, because we're gonna need it when we get fired for talking about totally. All the stuff we do.
I saw the big boss today.
Oh, yeah. She was walking around.
Yeah, I said, so are you bossing? Are you out bossing today?
Yeah.
She says, yeah. I said, well, you got any bossing for me? She says, yeah.
Get your crap together.
Talk on the radio. I was like, gotcha.
Mitchell, let's get the morale up around here, man.
I have my marching orders.
So I was looking at this. The Big 12 has announced a new programming series that's coming to the New York City Park's iconic Rucker Park. What are they doing with this? These are youth clinics that the Big 12 coaches are running. It seems like such a weird, like, I wouldn't think to myself, you know what speaks to me? Big 12 basketball and the Big Apple. Like, this is just, I guess, you know, Brett Yormark finding a little something where he can get some extra dollars, I guess, out of this, or at least growing the conference's footprint in some way. Does that mean you're going to start seeing the Big 12 in the Northeast now? I mean, it just seems like they're already in West Virginia.
I want you to think about your own children. And that your children, when they're young, they get exposed to something.
Mm-hmm.
And that exposure, I mean, I can think of my own self about some of, like,
camps and things like that.
Yeah.
Stuff you've gone to.
Or you watch it on television, or you...
You have that interaction with one player.
In the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Where you would say, and they're massively loyal Detroit Lions fans in the state of Michigan. But you know where they are? They're all in southern Michigan. Do you know who the fans are in the upper part of Michigan and about halfway up the state of Michigan?
They're all Packers fans.
They're all Packers fans. You know why?
The Youpers are Packers fans.
The Youpers are Packer fans. And you want to know why?
Hmm.
Because that's what they see.
Oh, the TV signal, that's what they get.
No, because you don't sell out Detroit Lions games, so they get blocked.
Ah.
And so they find the regional game that's close. It's similar to we get Denver Bronco games here. And it's a lot of why there's a lot of Denver Bronco fans in Utah.
Would an NFL team ever be blacked out here in the state of Utah?
I would hope not.
Like, I don't know if we can support an NFL team.
So here's the Big 12. They're just like... We're trying to get the kids hooked on the basketball drugs. You know, we're gonna give them something for free when they're young.
Basketball drugs,
right? So they go, wow, I want to go be playing the Big 12. I mean, this is a brilliant move. And on top of it, you're talking about a very basketball rich part of the country.
So Rucker Park is like every movie you've ever watched of guys playing on a playground.
Yeah,
in New York, that's like of significance. It's Rucker Park, right? It's just like, and so if you can get a foot in the door there. Then you're opening up the door, too, because when you show up, there's going to be a guy there that people go, you're going to want to see this guy, right? On top of the fact, and he's 14, and he's throwing down on people, and you're able to steal that guy away. I would imagine that playgrounds are a mixed bag of results on, because every once in a while, it's not like the movies where they go, you got to come see this kid at the park. But I think that there's a way where these guys can say, hey, look. We want. It's the same thing when there are kids that go to these camps, and they are even close to being kind of a recruited. If they start to make a name for themselves in those sophomore and junior camps, that's when the coaches pull them aside and go, "We got a place for you. You come play for us here." And think about how brilliant that is. You don't think of New York City and the Big 12 You know, Irving, Texas, and New York City do not intersect, right. And so it's a brilliant move by Brett Yormark. And the Big 12 already is the conference that is setting itself far and above everybody else, it seems like, in the basketball world.
I just wonder how – I guess this is legitimate. I mean, this isn't a violation of NCAA rules, you know. I would assume this participation in these youth programs and these clinics and – because it certainly seems like it's an undue influence. I don't know if that's even illegal anymore. Like, I don't even think anything's illegal anymore. But it is. It's, you know, you want to get people for life. Get them when they're young. I mean, we have people in our sports department that grew up in Utah and are massive Lakers fans. And it's all because of that exposure in an early part of their life.
It's a brilliant move. It's also kind of a, I mean, that is, when you think of a...
Okay, there's a downside to this.
What is it? Because this is as outside of the box of thinking as you can get.
It almost feels like, well, you have the Big 12. I think they have tremendous respect as a basketball conference. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
You're almost like...
They've surpassed the ACC, the SEC.
There's a part of me that feels like, are they trying too hard? They have been raising a lot of stink about trying to poach the Pac-12 and trying to become relevant and you know, let's do all these crazy outside. You know, do you not have the confidence in your product alone as a standalone, or do you have to kind of get gimmicky? And is there some substance to it? In fact, speaking of gimmicky, are you listening to me at
all?
Yeah,
I am. Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of gimmicky, I watched CJ Stroud's workout yesterday. That was a good workout.
Okay.
Okay.
I was actually wondering about that.
And I wanted to. Are we going to talk about this later?
Yeah, we should. No, okay. We will. We will.
Let's talk about it later.
But I don't think it's a stretch, by the way. I want to hear about the CJ Stroud thing, but I don't think it's a stretch doing this. You know why? Because it comes on the heels of last week, them announcing that they're going to have this collaboration with the NFL for the football side of things and have basically a combined Big 12 Pro Day that they're going to put on the NFL Network.
Yep.
So then you go, here's what we're doing for basketball a couple days later.
Yeah.
And it's not the same, but it is this like, and it's a double dipper too, because you go, hey, we're reaching out in the community. We're going to have these kids clinics at Rucker Park, and it's going to be, it's a brilliant move. It seems wild, but at the same time, I like both of these moves. I know people who don't like these moves to do this like a combined Big 12 Pro Day. I think it's good. I think Brett Yormark's just looking at ways to not just increase the revenue, but also the visibility for the conference.
I wonder if this move by the Big 12, from the football side of it, doesn't become more the norm. Like you have these conference pro days.
Totally.
And it takes over for the combine.
Everybody's going to do it. And it's not going to take over from the combine, because I think it'll just be in addition to. It's just like Senior Bowl, the combine, and then that extra pro day maybe that other conferences are going to totally copy off of this.
Yeah.
If they're smart. If there's a place for them on TV, for sure. Let's take a break. We'll come back. By the way, Hans and Scotty tomorrow are going to be at the NPS store in Salt Lake City, 1600 Empire Road here in Salt Lake. It's mpsstore.com. They're going to be at the Salt Lake location, mpsstore.com. And always—
Are we their travel coordinators? I feel like we're always talking, they're going to be here. They're going to be over here.
I would love to set up their travel for them. You guys got to take Front Runner down to this remote. Sorry. Hey, take the tracks line. We can't do gas anymore for this, all right? We'll take a break here when we come back. By the way, also this hour, presented by the folks at Trajan Wealth, local trusted financial fiduciaries, 801-899-7600, or you can visit their website, Trajan Wealth, TRAJANWealth.com. We'll come back, and let's have our little What Are the Odds segment here. Jump into it, have a little bit more fun. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the program. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out. We appreciate you being part of the program today and every day. You can download the KSL Sports app. It's our best way to stream the station all day long. The old Zone app is going to be phased out at some point here, and the best way to listen is with a bug-free KSL Sports app. So go ahead and download it. Listen to the entire station all day long at your leisure. All right. Yes, what are the odds? Goes like this. I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. And it's all brought to you by the folks at RGS Exteriors. Get that look for your home that you want for this year with the folks at RGS Exteriors. Stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding. Get that new look by giving them a call. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. All right. Scat. What are the odds that you and I are, at least one of us is still in the lead at the end of this weekend with the brackets at KSLSports.com?
At the end of the weekend?
No, there's no freaking way, right? I have so little faith. I have pretty decent picks, but it just doesn't matter. I just historically have fallen apart in the brackets, so I'll just say it's going to be low.
I'm still in good shape in three of the four.
And three of the final four.
Three of the
your champion three of the is eliminated.
Four sides of the bracket.
Oh, okay.
I'm still in good shape. The one Arizona that blew me up, but I'm still in good shape with, you know, like tonight's games. If
what are the and by the way, we're going to be playing those right
Kansas
here on
State,
our station. By the way,
Texas, Arkansas, and UCLA. If they all win, I'm good tonight. So.
Texas, Arkansas, and UCLA,
and Kansas State,
and Kansas State. So those are the four games. That are going on tonight. And then you get another four tomorrow, and then we'll have our regional finals set up for next week. Yeah. Final four is going to be set by Sunday.
Well, I'm taking a break, Alex. I won't be here tomorrow.
Oh,
so
good for you.
I'm going into the weekend
with a positive attitude
as a champion.
What's the deal with both you guys leaving on a Friday? By the way, you guys call each other. You guys hanging
out?
What's
the common denominator in that one?
I don't know.
Both of us are leaving and you're staying.
I know.
What does that say?
I just picture you guys on a road trip together.
Oh, we'd have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys could talk about Jeremy's love for weird freaking
Houston
sweatshirts.
Houston Oilers, man. Look, he's wearing them.
I know he's wearing the Oilers
wearing
sweatshirt
today.
Yep.
The odds that we're still, you know what? I'm bullish on
this.
You're
bullish on it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go Charles Haley, 94%.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go low. I think that neither you nor I are going to be leading this thing after the weekend. And I'm going to say it's a Baker Mayfield 6%. Is he still 6? Is it going to be 6 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I don't know.
Does he have to pay somebody for that jersey?
I think he's going to be number 12. But he's not going to be like Tom Brady.
No. He said he's not. Don't expect me to be like Tom
Brady.
I'm
not going to be like Tom
Never Brady. Ask me to be like Tom Brady, please. Scott, what are the odds that Princeton, as a 15 seed, goes on to the Elite Eight?
Baker Mayfield 6%. Okay. No, Baker Mayfield at Tampa Bay 12%.
Okay,
I'll say he's going to wear the number 12.
Now I have Creighton in the Elite Eight, and they're taking on Creighton, and so I am going to just hope for the best and say I love an upset, but I didn't pick you, so I'm going to go with a. Oh my goodness, Austin Colley 17% when he was at the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh. Yeah.
So there you go.
That's a good number.
Okay.
You go Philip Rivers, 17%.
Was he 17? Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Second hour of the program. Thanks for being with us. We just have we have fun jobs, you know, at any given time. I mean, the TV's always on in here. We've got sports on all the time. And, you know, the NCAA tournament continues tonight. And, you know, the Jazz season just is marching on here. They got 10 games left. I was actually thinking about this too, Scott. Well, let's hit the cut, and we'll get to PK here in a moment as well. But I just wanted to ask you something about this team, Team 49. So let's just hit the button and let's get going on here.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut brought to you
by... Did that sound like a...
Did somebody bark in there?
It sounded like a rooster or something.
Oh, okay. All right. I want to make sure everything's okay in there, Jer. So here's what we have.
Cut.
You got the cut brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars, plenty of protein, additive free. It's just, they taste fantastic. So if you're doing the protein bar thing, find a protein bar that you actually can stick with and you can actually eat. Scott ate one before the show. So did I. So there you go. So.
Did I tell you that I'm smarter?
Oh, how'd you get smarter?
Bought a TV for $10 today.
Oh, and they did have the Deseret News sale. No, we only heard it. Listen, it was just through the talkback. That was it. Just when you had your mic open. That's it. It's fine. Sorry, we're talking.
Well, it's $10.73.
Yeah, they taxed us. Yeah, Deseret News is having a fire sale on some furniture. They're moving floors. They went down one floor. They've upgraded. And so we went up and took a
gander. So I got one of those big screen TVs.
Yeah, it's a 55-inch TV Scott got for $10.
55-inch?
Yeah, it's good for him. I do have a question about this. And we've got Patrick Kinahan joining us here. PK, nice enough to join on the program here. And before we get into this topic about university presidents and what kind of an impact they can have on programs, I was thinking about this team. And perspective-wise, PK, when we're in the moment, we think this team is going to be so memorable. We're always going to remember Team 49. I don't know if that's necessarily true or if we're just stuck in the moment right now.
Oh, you're speaking of the Jazz?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Team 49, like, are we going to look at this year and go, man, remember 22, 23? What an insane year. Or if we're just going to go, because, you know, I think about Jerry Sloan's year that he took that team to, what, 42 and 40 when they should have won 15 games or whatever. We talk about that with kind of hushed tones around the hallway sometimes, but I don't know if it's the same thing or if we get so caught up in the moment right now with this team.
Before I get started, I think the thing you might have heard was coming through my outlet. I was having
you have roosters?
Well, I was having a mean game of tug of war with my dog.
Oh, good.
Here's a chicken.
It was a game of chicken with the dog. It sounded like chicken.
Well, it's hard for those chickens.
I blame it on Jeremy. I just blame it on Jeremy.
Grab the rope with those lips. So
he's standing right here. I had to come into the bathroom and shut the door.
What kind of dog is he? What kind of dog is this?
He's a boxer.
Oh, my gosh. I love those dogs. I love it.
Yeah, this is our second one.
PK in the bathroom avoiding the dog. That's I just love the picture of that.
See, I want you guys to know I will go to the bathroom for you.
Ends of the earth or the bathroom, either one.
So I think
sit down. Take a load off and give us your thoughts.
I'm not going to go there. I just won't. I get myself in enough trouble in the mornings. I don't need to get in trouble in the afternoon. I think what we're going to remember is this was the foundation. The thing about Jerry Sloan, and that was the most phenomenal job of coaching that I've ever seen in my life, that 42 and 40. I mean, it was just incredible. I think the only guys on that team that were true NBA players in a rotation were Kirilenko and Harpring, right? Mm-hmm. Well, here, these guys, we've got rotation players. And so the goal here, obviously, is to make the playoff next year, following year, make the playoff in terms of being able to advance. And then we'll see where we're at that point in year three. And we'll look back on this season that this was Markkanen's breakout season into what I believe is a big time player. I think we all believe that. Kessler, Obagie, Sexton's been hurt, but he might be a piece in the future. We'll see about Horton Tucker. So when we look at Team 49 on its own merit, it won't be that great, but what it'll be is the foundation, what they hope and, what fans hope and what I hope too for them would be something special. And this is where it got started.
I have to believe that just like a lot of these players that Will Hardy's also had kind of the autonomy to grow and figure things out as a coach. And I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of refers back to this season and said, I learned so much as a coach in that situation. We had Mike Smith on an hour ago, and he was talking about this zone defense. And it's kind of, the Jazz had some practice time. They had a chance to develop this zone defense that worked really well against Boston and fairly well against Sacramento, and then not so well against
the
Portland Trailblazers. And you have to wonder if maybe he went to the well too much and he Speaking of Will Hardy, and maybe he should have employed a different or strategy, or maybe had some anticipation, a counter off of what he was, you know, doing with that. And it's just little things like that. You wonder that he learns these little nuggets of information that he puts in his bank for the future.
Well, I guess we lost PK. Boy, don't get mad at the dog, PK. Hopefully he's not. Don't whip the dog over this thing. We've got to see if we can reconnect PK on this thing. Okay, there he is.
Come back.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Right.
Yeah, Scott was just asking a question.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I played a little bit of baseball beyond high school, but I've been in this business, cover your ears, almost 40 freaking years now. Nice. And I know. And
really?
Yeah, I know.
You don't seem that old.
I'm not. I got my first break at 14. And the point I'm going to make is I have been around high school, college, professional, and so many times coaches, their first year, they know they don't know everything, but they don't know what they don't know. And then you talk to them year four, year five, whatever it might be, and they'll freely admit. Bronco Mendenhall, one of the most honest guys I've ever covered, mm-hmm. told me once in year four or five, I had no idea what I was doing. Now, you're not going to get that much of honesty, but I think the same thing with Hardy. There's no question they chose him at the right time for a reason, because the team and the organization need to grow. And he needs to grow. He's part of the organization, a critical component. So go ahead. Like, there was a few games ago, I can't remember the opponent, Abaji took the ball down right into the rim. It was right at the end of the game. They lost the game.
Yep.
And he tried to avoid contact. And Thurl Bailey said, well, he'll learn. No, don't avoid contact. Go right at him and initiate the contact. And yeah, all right. So he blew it in the moment. He didn't really blow anything big in the moment, because this is the developmental season. The time will come down the line. He'll know. Take it right at him and use your body against his body. And you're athletic enough. You should be okay and at least get the foul call. So it's a learning experience for everybody, with Hardy certainly. And I don't know the man at all, so I can't say what he'll say in 2-3 years. But my guess is he'll be a much better coach. And I'm sure you encountered that, Scott, in your playing career, that you saw. And I know you coached a little high school ball. You were probably better the more experience you got.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, yeah, I did. And you just have these moments and you just put them in the back of your head. I remember one that it's going to sound silly. And then we heard Tom Brady say it on our show. And I just remember thinking to myself, and this was high school football. I was coaching high school football, and I'm like, they've lined everyone up on the inside. We just need to run the ball to the outside. Uh-huh. And then I go, and we did, and we had success with it. And then I go, are we making this more complicated than it should be? It's just like, you go where they ain't. And that's what Tom Brady said. If they're deep, throw it short. If they're short, throw it deep. And, you know, it's kind of that same thing.
Well,
and
I think that
but
Will Hardy,
you have those little moments. And I had it when I was coaching. I just said, and I just remember saying, don't overcomplicate this. And you do. You just learn so many things as you go through the whole experience.
Yeah, and it'll be good for him. This is a great year to get that experience. I'm excited for their future and what he's going to do, what the team's going to do in year 3, 4, 5, and so forth.
Yeah,
are we over anticipating that? I mean, because I'm with you. I'm excited, you know, to see the pieces, to see all these young players, what they look like in year two. But
like, is it going to be a longer process?
Are we setting ourselves up here for, you know, too high of an expectation?
Well, my answer to that, Scott, would be they're setting themselves up to set up us. If they would have won 15, 20 games this year, and Kessler didn't have his moments, and Markkanen wasn't an all-star, and Abaji didn't have his moments, and even Horton Tucker has played a little bit. And how about this Chris Dunn coming off the scrap heap has looked really good. So I hear what you're saying, but I would go back to they're the ones who are increasing our expectations based on the success that they've had that wasn't anticipated to this level this year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's that adage. It's like under promise and over deliver, and they've done just the opposite.
Well, and part of it is that, and Scott, you always talk about this too. It's like, don't come in and say we don't have lofty goals. You better come in and say we have crazy goals. And even if they sound insane for a little bit, eventually it might, you know, wear into the program, especially if, it's kind of the thing that drives us nuts sometimes when you go, we want to win a conference championship. But then you have to be honest with yourselves and say, here's where we're actually at versus here's where we want to go. And I think that window probably just got shorter maybe this year in terms of what we thought it was going to be. But, PK, I know that we were supposed to sound shocked. You've been in the business for 40 years, but that was most of the reason that I wanted to get you on today was because I wanted you to look back at kind of the whole look at when you see university presidents change over like BYU just had, and I think Kevin Wortham did a masterful job, you know, kind of in those 9 years. But we only get to see the athletic side of things because, you know, it translates down to the vice president who's over athletics and then down to Tom Holmo and then down to the rest of the athletic programs. I was at BYU when the transition went between Merrill J. Bateman over to Cecil O. Samuelson. I remember we were seeing President Samuelson at like all the games and hyped up and you know, he was on the sideline, he was jumping up, you know, and we were like, man, that's fun to see. But how much of an impact and how much goes into the decision making of picking a university president? In BYU's case, they have to be, you know, very specific about and kind of getting guys ready for this. But what do you see in how a president goes, so goes the university when it comes to athletics? How important is it?
Yeah, before I get started, every time I saw President Samuelson, he'd always say, hello, PK. And it always made me nervous thinking, yeah, oh my gosh, he listens.
Stop it.
I don't want those guys to listen. I think in the world we live today, with the just from the time that you played, Scott, to the where it is now, the emphasis on athletics is so much greater. The visibility, we just had the university president from Utah, and this is a no-brainer, it's a duh. The better the football team, the higher the profile of the university, the more applications, blah, blah, blah. They go hand in hand. Gonzaga can speak to that. They play tonight against UCLA, and they know all about that stuff. So it's extremely important, particularly as now that you're going into the Big 12, you have to acknowledge it. And I know there's some academic people who want to turn their noses up on that, but yeah, that's just not realistic. It's not the world in which we live in. It's not, they used to say athletics is the front porch. No, now it's like the whole North 40, the old Dallas television show. It's way beyond just the front porch. It's the foundation. It's everything. It's the entire house practically, except for the basement out back or something. And this man has an athletic background. Andy Reid was involved with him, and Andy Reid walks on water here as far as BYU goes, for good reason. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach who's won tremendously at both places he's been as a head coach in the NFL. And so if he wanted to hire him, then obviously that's a great endorsement. So they have to be aware of it, and particularly with BYU and their mission. I can remember Val Hale. He showed me a bunch of letters that they got when BYU was starting to get prominent in football and ESPN had come along so games could be seen. And Val showed me some letters that they'd received from an old lady in Florida who ended up joining the LDS church because of the exposure for BYU through football. And that's got the connection to their religion. And so for them, it takes on a different level, certainly. And that's important to them. I don't mock it at all. It's the realistic situation. So they have to be aware of that. The thing about BYU too, is you always wonder, who really has the authority? Because is it sitting in the offices of the administration building in Provo, or is it sitting in the offices of the administration building in Salt Lake? Mm-hmm. You know, who really makes the call on these things?
So you're talking about Taylor Randall, who's the president at the University of Utah. And I asked him after the first Rose Bowl, I said, what kind of impact has the Rose Bowl? Is it tangible? And he said, here's how it's tangible. We have more students who've early committed to sign up to be academic students, not athletes.
Right.
Academic students are early enrollment, meaning these people have committed to come to the University of Utah and have paid their money. And it's significantly up. And the only thing that's different is we went to the Rose Bowl. And he says, I'm absolutely convinced that it has an impact. But I'm curious, can you have your cake and eat it, too, if you're a college student? If you're a college today, so can you be a Stanford or a Cal that's known as education and yet you still want to have major success in sports? Can you have both of those things?
I think you can have it to a degree. I get your point. Stanford did have it under Harbaugh, mm-hmm. and then the first part of David Shaw. And obviously the last few years, it slipped dramatically. But so much has changed from the time that Jim Harbaugh was the coach at Stanford, and even from the time that David Shaw took over, because first it was the grad transfer, right? And that was, they didn't have your major. And we all knew that it was a big loophole. Well, just choose a major that they don't have, and then boom, the other one has, and I'm good to go. So if basket weaving was a major and your existing school didn't have it, you can have it over there, whatever. And it was supposed to be like a reward for someone who placed an emphasis on academics and graduated and wanted a master's degree, right? Well, then athletes figured out this is a way to get a year and be immediately eligible for my final year. Now, fast forward from just that time to where it is now, to where the transfer portal is such a big deal, and then you factor in NIL, which is what? Not even 2 years old, and what are you going to do? Stanford talking about, I heard them in their presentation that, okay, we don't necessarily give you NIL now, but we're going to give you NIL for 45 years when you go into the working world. We're not going to give it to you, but the degree is going to give it to you. I had an opportunity through a baseball situation to spend 4 or 5 days up there, and I mean, it's unbelievable what they can offer you academically, mm-hmm. right? But the football program has slipped. The basketball program hasn't been that good. The women's programs just dominate. They're right. Really, really good. Baseball's still been able to do it. So you got to figure out a way to bridge that gap and the different type of athletes there from one sport to the next. So I don't know if you can do it at the highest level, but I still think you can do it to where academics matter. But then you listen to, did you guys see the Notre Dame president and the Notre Dame AD and there's op-ed in the New York Times today?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically acknowledging that kids are coming to play football because the NFL won't take them for 3 years until they're out of high school. Mm-hmm. They don't have any desire to be in class, but they have to for the 3 years. So they want the NFL to start a minor league. Well, the minor league is called college football. Yeah. Who was that quarterback? It was the third string guy for Ohio State. I can't remember his name. That year they had all those injuries, and he came in and he said, I didn't come to Ohio State to play school. I came to play football.
Was it Cardale Jones? Was that
yeah,
was?
There, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. What a quote. I mean, it sounds like a sham and an absolute hypocrisy, but yet it's true. These guys, they have NFL potential. That is their major. Because they're going to go on. Now, you want somebody like a Clark Phillips or a Jalen Johnson who come in and say, hey, I'm going to get a degree in 3 years and I'm going to go yeah. on to the NFL. That's the best of both. And if the more you can have that, the better it is. So I still think you can have it to a degree, but it depends on the individual and what the individual's background is and how much he or she places on education from the family perspective down to the kid. It can be done.
Covering BYU since Carl G. Mazur. He's Patrick Kinahan on the
program. I'm not sure who that is.
he's one of the old school presidents at
it's
BYU.
When it was BYU Academy.
It was like the, yeah, it's one of those where I think they have paintings of him up. I don't know if there are any pictures. That's like the timer. But PK
he had a really long beard.
Yeah. Oh, one of those types.
He was the inventor of the honor code. He was the guy who was like, hey,
how many did? Oh, never mind.
PK, we love having you on the program. I love the perspective, and thanks for bringing it in. You guys do a fantastic job in the mornings. You can hear DJ and PK every day. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, I got to get back to tug of war. Yeah.
Get to the dog. Absolutely.
Get out of the bathroom.
There you go. There's PK. We'll take a break here in a moment. It is interesting to see what the effect is. I mean, when Taylor Randall came in, we went to like the first event that he really did was the unveiling of the Ken Garf
yeah.
Red Zone. And we went to that event, and he was like, and he's giving a speech to all these people. He sees Scott in the crowd, and he goes, Scott, I was watching you on this very field. And
that
was
not quite the same field.
Scott gets, Scott gets the goosebumps, and you know, but that's the thing that he remembers. And that's the thing is that he's a guy who knows the importance of it. But you can't, like, you can't just be. I get what the beef is that Notre Dame has, but you're never going to say, oh yeah, we need you to have your own minor league football because this is bad. These kids need to have academics. It's like, yeah, you say that, but how much money have you as a university gotten off of the backs of these athletes for decades? And I know you have a big endowment. Fine. Everybody throws money at Notre Dame who was an alum and even who's not. And, you know, there we were looking at the amount of money that Stanford gets in comparison to everybody else. It's an insane amount of money. They don't need the Pac-12 revenue, right? Like, they're standing around going, we don't really care. They don't need it. But these other schools do. And well, and frankly, it's the reason that you have people. Like my niece goes to Georgia. She goes to the University of Georgia. And she got the lottery and won. She won the lottery this year and got in, right, to be one of the student ticket holders, you know, because they have this lottery. And so you got in and you're going, she's a student there, but this thing has become is such a huge deal there. And in the South, you're never going to get anybody to not. How are you going to turn that over? You're never going to be able to change it from the system that it is. You might be able to improve it a little bit. The NIL stuff, I think, improves it.
In today's, well, it's not just NIL, but if you're talking about guys that just have to be in school for 3 years, you can graduate in 3 years. I mean,
yeah.
And PK said, you know, you got to get the right person. Really, it's the right program. These programs have such incredible academic advisor opportunities, and they understand how to kind of navigate through the education system. No matter what major you're going to be in, they can they tutor the heck out of these players. You know, they go, here's your class load, here's how you go, you do it, boom, and you can graduate in 3 years.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We're anticipating BYU's practices wrapping up, and then we're going to get a player hopefully on the horn here in just a little bit, walking off the practice field. I always love this time of year. So we'll see who we can get. And you get what you get, you don't throw a fit, and we're going to get some updates from Provo. Coming up in just a little bit. Did we give away those Real Salt Lake tickets? Jeremy forgot to. Yeah, come on. I actually, you know what? That was my bad. I basically. You had a lot of things going on. I'm going to re-give the phone number out because we had like 9 phone numbers we were giving out, and on top of it, you had to get somebody on the line. So 801-575-ZONE, it is a chance for you to win some tickets. It's an out-of-the-ordinary win tickets Thursday here for you. So call number 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. You get a pair of tickets to Real Salt Lake and St. Louis SC coming to town on Saturday. So we'll get those tickets to you quickly. And hopefully this time we got you. Call back 801-575-ZONE for a pair of tickets to Real Salt Lake in St. Louis. All right. Interestingly enough, Scott, you know, I think all the things that, you know, go on with the NCAA tournament, and for as much as we like the upsets that had happened, there's still a lot of you don't see a lot of double digit seeds in the round of 16. And I think it's just Is it just Princeton? Princeton's the only double-digit seed in the Sweet 16. You typically have a couple, but here are your matchups for the first Sweet 16 games. And by the way, we're playing all those games on 1280 AM as well throughout the weekend starting today. So Michigan State versus Kansas State, that's a 7-3 matchup. Arkansas, an 8. They, of course, upset Kansas, and they're taking on the number 4 UConn Huskies. Florida Atlantic, that's kind of your big Cinderella-ish team of the day.
I got Tennessee going to the Final Four.
That's a good pick, too. And Gonzaga and UCLA, that's probably the best matchup in terms of highest seeds that could be facing one another at this point.
Yeah,
so.
Gonzaga got a little salty. They were like, Gonzaga.
Drew Timmy dropped an F-bomb on on CBS Live on TV. That's how salty he was.
It would be fitting because you know how they kind of have those teams that, you know, everyone expects to do well, and of course,
this year they kind of underperformed
this year,
a little bit.
People
yeah.
aren't expecting them, and
maybe that's when they
it's
steal
kind of
it.
The year of the unexpected. Kind of, it's like the Jazz. It's just all around.
We'll see how it works.
Unexpected out. Is the expected.
So in these games, when you have Michigan State and Kansas State, that's a nice little matchup. But through the weekend here, and I don't know, you tell me, Scott, has the NCAA tournament lost any of its savor? Like, I used to obsess over this thing when I was in college. Maybe it was because it was such a pastime in college, but I love making the brackets. I like doing it. What does college basketball What does college basketball have to do to get back on kind of the mainstream fans' radar? Is it just because I don't like it? It's just when you're
Here's where I think it's different, at least for me. I used to find I was much, much more interested in the regular season. When, you know, and I was a big college basketball fan, but it just seemed like the matchups during the season were so much more meaningful. You're just, you know, attendance a lot of places is down. It feels different. And it's almost like, hey, let us just get to the tournament. That's really kind of it's almost become too big for its own good. But some just really good, you know, Big Ten matchups and ACC matchups, they were just, you know, Duke, Carolina, you know, are just, you know, those were great games. You know, all those teams really, or there were a lot of good teams in the ACC, and it just feels, you know, it feels a little different now. It just, even though like the Big 12 is kind of taken over as the best conference, that was one of the things that the ACC just owned. They owned basketball, and you just don't get a sense that they really own it. And I'm not sure if people aren't as interested as they used to be. I'm not really sure what's happened, but it just seems like the regular season's just a different, not as meaningful as it used to be. I mean, you know what it is to me? I'll tell you what it is. It's okay to have a loss if it's a good loss. I get so tired of these quad losses, and that's a quad one loss, and it's like it's just you win or you lose, and now it's like it's becoming more subjective as far as how you get into the tournament and what, you know, how they rate teams and what have you, and you know what? Look at what's happened. They're not right about it. Right?
No,
I mean,
because 1,000%.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's so how can you do that? Just, I don't know, just feel that. That's just what it feels like to me.
Do you also kind of look at it in like in the case of BYU? I think people are really excited, but I do think that even though people are saying, hey, don't get your freaking hopes up for next year in the Big 12 just yet, football, but especially basketball right now, like there's work to be done because of how difficult this conference is and how difficult it's going to be for the next couple of years. Oh, I did have a hanger on of a what are the odds here for you.
Wow. That was kind of a shift.
Well, it's because I had this thought and I was like, I got to bring this up with Scott. And then I forgot during our actual what are the odds, because Mark Madsen and his team are going to the NIT in Vegas, the semifinals. And just a tremendous run.
How exciting is that? I mean,
it's insane because I try to imagine, and this is something that you would understand too, because it was Utah Technical College when you were a kid, and it was UVSC when I was at BYU, and
Utah
it was like,
Tech.
Or what was it? No, not Utah Tech. It was Utah.
Community. It was
Utah Valley. Like it was a community college.
Utah
right?
Tech, Utah Community College,
something along those lines. But it was, you know, small potatoes in a place where only one team was allowed to kind of get attention. And now having a win streak against BYU, getting invited to the NIT, but also like having a real shot at winning this thing. Could you imagine UVU? Somebody who said, hey, in the future, UVU is going to win the NIT. They'll be the next team out of BYU, Utah, and UVU. Out of those three teams, you might see the Wolverines going to the NCAA tournament before Utah and BYU for like a while.
Well,
the most
exciting game, the most electric fan experience happened in Orem.
Right.
You know, it happened at Utah Valley University. I mean,
it's crazy.
Place was going nuts, and they came through and they did it, and that's exciting. Good for them. But it just shows you can win at basketball sooner and a lot easier, get the right people in place. You know, I know it's only the NIT, but still, it's still good basketball and people are excited about it.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, what are the odds there you end up being an NCAA team before BYU and Utah? Like, that, it's actually probably pretty high. I mean, you think about the trajectory that
so,
they've been on.
You know what happens?
Mark Madsen's got that team
those on. Kind of experiences, when someone kind of shows you up, raises the bar, it typically you know, raises all ships kind of thing. So maybe that's the kind of boost these other programs need to go, come on, you can do this too. Let's go.
Here's what the names of the school were. Ready? Central Utah Vocational School.
Okay.
Utah Trade Technical Institute, the UTTI. Okay. Sounds like a disease, doesn't it? The Utah Technical College at Provo. Why did they say at Provo?
My okay.
The Utah Valley Community College.
There you go. That's one I remember.
And then UVSC was the one I knew, right? Utah Valley State College. Then it turned into Utah Valley University. And by the way, very first members of the Big 12 in the state, too. Affiliate members in wrestling. They have been for...
Oh,
yeah, wow. They've been in the Big 12 wrestling for a while. They're like, welcome, BYU. Welcome to our conference. All right. Let's take a break. Did we give those Real tickets away then? Okay, good. I was just wondering. I wasn't trying to call you out, Jerry. I was just like, you know what? I gave out a lot of numbers during that break. And it might have been too much. So I apologize. All right. We will come back when we do. Hopefully we'll be able to get somebody off of the practice field from BYU. If not, we'll bring them to you in the 5 o'clock hour. So stay right here with us. And you can join us, of course, around the corner. We love that you download the podcast as well. Download the KSL Sports app to get more of the streaming throughout the day. Does your home need a new look for this year? RGS Exteriors can give you that look with the stucco brick vinyl or James Hardy siding that you need. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors. Okay, we'll come back. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
UA.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us as we get you going through the very busy weekend of college basketball that's going to start up, that's already started up right now. So your Sweet 16's already fired up. You got a Thursday, Friday for your Sweet 16's, and then a Saturday, Sunday for your Elite Eights, and your regional champs are going to be crowned, and that's your Final Four. And Scott and I looking to extend our lead in the KSL Sports Bracket. And so for right now, and it could end in the next even just couple minutes, because every round all the points increase, and Michelle Bodkin is just breathing down our freaking necks, man. She's right there, and I just predict that it's going to be, you know, I just lose these things. So, you know, you get used to the brackets, making them and everything, and you just don't really add up sometimes. It's not really your thing. I was looking at this too, Scott. I was thinking about the same, how much these teams are worth nowadays, kind of a deal. And I just thought about how this Yankees valuation at $7.1 billion, like, who cares about what the valuation is? Because there's going to be, if the Steinbrenners put the Yankees up for sale today, they'd be bought for, I think, between $8 and $10 billion. And then that's what they're worth. And then suddenly any time that you're going to own a sports franchise. So here's how much it actually makes for these different teams. So the NHL in local TV made $838 million. So that's why these teams are worth so much. That's why these leagues are worth so much. It's TV money. You've taught me
that. Of course.
I never knew that before. I thought it was just ticket sales. I'm just kidding. But it's amazing how much money it's gotten, right? I mean, like, the NBA, $1.3 billion of its revenue comes from television rights, right? Every year.
So when you're a player and you go into, like, the NFL, you've always thought of this as a sport, and it's entertainment. You're in the entertainment business, and you're really in partnership with the television. So be entertaining. And it's a total shift because – from what you've grown up with and how you've, you know, it's like we play this game and we, you know, it's like, no, you're in the entertainment business.
So Major League Baseball revenue last year was $10 billion. despite the fact that sometimes you might look at it and go, man, baseball is not as popular as it used to be. Some people aren't even showing up to these some of these stadiums. It's still, because it's 162-game schedule, they're able to just get so much money out of this thing. So here's your list of hierarchy of how much teams are worth in Major League Baseball. Okay? Yankees, $7 billion. Dodgers, any guesses? Because it's always Yankees, Dodgers, right?
Six billion.
$4.5 billion. Which there's no way. If the Dodgers were up for sale now, it would be a $7 billion deal.
Probably.
The Red Sox, $4.5 billion also. The Chicago Cubs, $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
The San Francisco Giants, $3.7 billion. It's insane to think what these guys would be worth, or what these teams would be worth, and how the king is the NFL, these NFL franchises.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely crazy how much money these teams are worth now. Scott, if you and I could get into some minority ownership group in any sport, I don't care what it is. You do it, man. You jump in.
I wonder, you know, you look back and you go, oh, the Dallas Cowboys, $250 million. Like, where does he come up with that money, you know? And now you're like, how does someone come up with billions of dollars? And,
right.
And it has to be kind of a conglomerate. It has to be a group, or it has to be some. And then you go, well, you know, maybe some of these people that are rich enough to do it, do you really want them owning your sports franchise?
No, the answer is probably not. But at the same time, like, if they can run the business like they do their business, they're making your team. They're going to make your team better, I guess.
The owner of the Orlando Thunder.
The World League team you played for.
Was a bathing suit manufacturer. He knew nothing about football. His wife's favorite color was chartreuse of bathing suit.
That's why
suit.
You guys were.
So that's why that's why you can go wrong with the wrong owner.
Well, whatever, because the Seahawks, their color rush jersey is the exact freaking jersey.
Someone must love that bathing suit. Maybe it was, what's his name? Pete Carroll. Maybe he likes chartreuse.
97.5 KZNS FM Colville, 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City, and KSL FM HD2 Salt Lake City Midvale. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, thanks for hanging out on the program. We're watching a little bit of Bryce Young, Alabama Pro Day highlights. You said you saw C.J. Stroud's workout, and we'll chat about that a little bit later. But I want to know what constitutes a really good workout as well for like these guys at their pro days and things like that. I want to know all that stuff. So we'll be chatting about that in a little bit. We're awaiting a phone call from a BYU player walking off the field at any moment here. I did also see during the break. So would you rather have a 15-year career in Major League Baseball or a 6.5-year career in the NFL? I guess it would depend on the position, right? But Adam Wainwright.
No, it would depend on the money.
Well, I guess it would depend on the money too, obviously. But Adam Wainwright is 41 years old, and he just signed a 1-year. So he's been in the league. This is his 18th season, right? And it's not odd for a starter to have 20 years in the league, right? I mean, it happens. So I wanted to see what his career earnings have been for Adam Wainwright. Okay, so for this year, he's going to earn $18 million.
Oh.
One-off $18 million. He's 41, right? 41-year-olds in, you know, unless you're Tom Brady, is not, you know, you don't see that very often. But I was just thinking about how long those careers could be. So let's say that the money is about the same.
Are you making $18 million a year?
$18 million a year in baseball, and then let's say $18 million a year in football, because you love football. But I mean, it's so insane how long these careers last. And I just wonder if it would
be 6.5 years,
6.5 years in the league, 7 years in the league versus 15 in Major League Baseball.
Okay. Shorter season. in football.
Yeah, definitely.
Shorter career, so you could move on to other things. If you're making $18 million a year for 6.5 years, you're well over $100 million.
Right.
After taxes, it's probably you're going to put about $60-something million in the bank. That's good enough for me.
So in the last just in the last 11 seasons, Adam Wainwright has made $174 million.
Right. So now, if you're a baseball player, longer season. Now, if you're a pitcher, you're only going to go every 4 days. So you get to go hang out, play golf, you know, take your golf clubs. That's kind of the deal. So that wouldn't be all bad.
No, the starters get an awesome gig.
Yeah.
Showing up, pitching every 5 days.
Yeah.
I love how they put their uniforms on and then they're just screwing around in the dugout or in the bullpen.
It's a much different pace for sure. But baseball is very intense, even though it doesn't have that appearance. Mm-hmm. They're locked in when they're playing. So I would I might go with the baseball.
Yeah.
And your body's not going to get the same abuse.
But part of it is, too, I think part of that decision is also.
And if you're 40 when you're done, wow, that's good.
I think part of that decision that you make also kind of goes along with, you know, the idea that you have this longer career instead of going, I went 6 years, now what, right? Adam Wainwright, I mean, he's no. It's not like he's a spring chicken in baseball at 41 years old. But you end your career. You've played 15, or in his case, 18 years in the league, and he's 41, going on 42. He's going to retire at 42 years old at the end of this year, likely, or maybe he gets another. I mean, if he's getting $17.5 million this year, I could imagine that guy going another couple seasons. But, but you don't have this idea of like, well, now what am I supposed to do? As nearly as much as if you had a 5 year career in the NFL. I mean, you had a 12 year career in the NFL.
Changed it now. It were 6.5 years. How do you get a half a year?
Injured, you know. That's what I assume.
Well, then you get 7 years.
that's what I'm saying.
I might do the football for 7 years. If you're making $18 million,
what
a
if
year
you're
for
a long snapper though?
Well, no. A long snapper will have an 18 year career in the NFL.
I know.
Making $100,000.
John
a
Denny
year.
Wasn't it John Denny who you know, the former BYU guy who was I think of the Dolphins for like that type of a stretch.
Really good
years.
Long snappers, man. They
look, the league minimum is the league minimum.
Yeah.
You're making $2 million a year or whatever when you've been in the league for 10 years.
I think you'd be making $1 million a year.
It's increased. It's a pretty big number now. It's crazy. But I was just wondering because I was watching Adam Wainwright and I was like, good for that guy. He's 41. That's like old as the hills in most sports, but he just signed an $18 million 1 year contract. So good for him. Let's kick off the hours we always do with the cut. Let's jump in here. Let's just get into the hour, shall we?
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut and our program brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, G2G bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. And Trajan Wealth, your trusted local financial fiduciaries. You can check out their website, TrajanWealth.com, T-R-A-J-A-N, Wealth.com. Joining us right now on Unrivaled, he is Keanu Hill, wideout for the BYU football team. Keanu, thanks for being on the program, man.
Great. Thank you for having me.
How was... Now, look, we were told, Kenny just told us you were doing extra work on the field, getting some extra passes. That extra work that you do, this is quite the wide receiver group. How do you guys look? How do you guys look so far in spring?
We're looking real smooth right now. We're looking real good just because, you know, we did have like a little few key pieces leaving, like Puka, Gunner. But we have like a lot of new guys that came in, you know, who's willing to learn, willing to get some extra stuff. And that's what I was doing here just with some of the younger guys are getting some extra work and stuff. And we're looking real good. I really like this group that we have right now, especially the young guys. They're just willing to learn, and they want to learn. That's what I really like about this. We got a really, really, really talented group.
So this is the first year of going to the Big 12. How has spring football been different than past years?
Oh, I feel like we changed a lot of things. Like now we're really focusing on more of explosive stuff. And really learning like football IQ really mainly because right now I'm pretty sure everybody knows how we got like a whole new defensive staff. You know, they're really throwing some looks at us, giving us different looks than what we've seen last year. And it's really like ironing sharp and iron right now. So like they're giving us looks that we need to get used to when we go into the Big 12, and we're giving them looks where what they could potentially be seeing in the Big 12 as well, too. So right now, we're really just in grind mode right now, especially on both sides. So
as we look at this group, as you guys get ready, you have a new quarterback as well throwing to you. Everybody is kind of going, what's that ball look like coming off the hand of Keaton Slovis? How quickly has he picked up this Aaron Roderick, Fessy Satake passing attack?
Oh, he picked it up real quick, just because as soon as he came in, you know, he wanted to go throw, you know, get in the meeting rooms and stuff. So he was always the one to want us to come with him and so he could learn better, see what we think, what he thinks, and how we can make this offense, you know, better than what it has been. So he's been really – he came in here and been throwing the ball really, really great, bro. The ball coming out of his hand looks so beautiful, and it looks real good right now. He's looking real good.
How has your game improved? Where are you in your growth and development as a player?
I feel like right now just still trying to get in and out my breaks even faster than before. You know, I feel like they've been up to par, but I want to be to where they're great. So, and on top of that, now that I'm more of a veteran on this team, I'm trying to be more of a vocal leader and then also lead by example. So.
Keanu, as you kind of get ready for another season here, you were second of the team in reception yards last year and catches. And what are your personal goals? What do you want to have happen this year? And what do you how do you look at this and go, for me personally, this is what a successful season looks like?
Over 1,000 yards, mainly. That's been my goal ever since I came to college ball at the collegiate level. And so now I'm just trying to achieve that goal. Now I feel like over 1,000 yards would be. It'll be great and good for my resume. So,
I had the unfortunate or fortunate for these guys experience of playing against Trinity High School when I was living in Texas. That's one of these kind of storied programs that produces like you guys and out of that area. What was attractive about BYU coming from that Metroplex area and a big football program like Trinity?
I just feel like the reason what drew me here was mainly just how the football coaches and how everyone like carries themselves and how like, and on top of that, BYU has a great football program. Like they always somehow like always in the top 25 and stuff like that when I was coming out of high school. So I feel like he was really a great fit for me just because of when they pass the ball a lot. And we do like a lot of re-options and stuff like that. So I feel like he was a great fit for me just because of the football program and what Kalani has offered to me. So
NIL and the transfer portal have become a staple in college football now. What kind of impact have you seen with BYU?
I feel like for BYU, since a lot of people been entering the transfer portal for money situations, I feel like BYU is still trying to – I feel like we're still sticking to loving the game more than having like – yeah, everybody wants to get paid. But I feel like here we look for people that love the game more than what things has came up to. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I feel like we're getting people that like I love the game and are willing to learn, willing to do whatever it takes to get to the next level. So –
So, like Keaton Slovis, I mean, he's a transfer portal guy, and how hard was that for him to get assimilated into the program? What are the challenges? What's that been like with him?
I don't feel like it's really been a challenge. I feel like ever since he came in, we've opened him with open arms. We talked to him, you know, get to know him better and stuff like that. And we try to make it as much as home as him as possible. Just trying to be there for him. Talk to him and just getting to know him and him getting to know us, you know, just make him comfortable so he can fit, make it feel like he fits in great here.
So what have you bribed him with so he'll throw the ball to him more?
Scott knows as a quarterback, you got to get on his good side all the time.
Oh, for sure. I've really been trying to get him on the ping pong tables and stuff in the locker room, you know, try to see what he does outside of football. And you know, just trying to make our connection deeper, like how all the other receivers are doing.
Keanu, we'll let you go and get you home because it's been a long practice day for you, and we appreciate you coming on. And good luck this season. We'll chat with you again hopefully in the fall when things get a little bit more serious. Stay healthy, my heavens, in the spring. I know that Jay Hill's going hard on you guys, so hopefully you guys can stay healthy. Thanks for being with us.
Nah, thank y'all. Appreciate it.
There you go. There's Keanu Hill. I'm still one of these kids.
That's
have
interesting.
So much energy, man. They love it. I love hearing how excited these guys are for being on the field. And what were you just going to say was interesting, though?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, he talked about they're getting a football IQ elevation and mentioning Jay Hill and all the different looks that he's showing defensively. And, you know, those are always intriguing things to me, to how much of your defense can you put in and how much of it can you actually like succeed at it and get confident with and competent with in such a short period of time. They have 15 practices. And that's got to be a daunting task for a coach
to jam it all in there.
Yeah. And they have their, you know, their schedule of installing everything. And I'm sure they're just throwing it all at these players, and then they'll come back to it when they get into the fall, and then they'll refine it, and you know, and then they'll get into games and they'll refine it even more. But it'll be fascinating to watch and to see how intricate it gets and how involved it gets. But just from hearing from Keanu, it sounds like they're throwing a lot at these guys defensively and offensively. And it's a good point because, you know, he talked about, you know, steel sharpens steel kind of thing. And when you have a good team and you have good players you're playing against all the time, it really does. It helps. And you improve so much quicker and so much more efficient.
Yeah, I think that we just assume that if 3 weeks of practice, they can have as many practices as they want in that group, but they have, you know, they're limited and they have, and they know the limits too, and so they feel this pressure to be a really good mix of getting young guys in, not putting all the people in that don't have to be there and don't have to play, but also. You know, it's old hat with the offense a little bit with Aaron Roderick and Vesey Satake. I think when we had another, I can't remember who it was, maybe. Oh, no, it was Isaac Rex last week when he just goes, look, yeah, I mean, we know this system really well, and it's the same system. And there's a lot of stuff that they do that's going to be similar, but they like to throw in a couple different things there. It must be nice to just be like, hey, you know how we do this. The defense has got a lot to work on. We can improve our football IQ because we don't have to install anything right now. We can get better in these things right now. And, he mentioned it.
It helps, though,
yeah,
is it helps Keaton Slovis. When all these guys are going, like, they're going to be in the right spot, and they're going to help him. They're going to help his learning curve. You know, if everyone's learning it at the same time, very different deal. So to have some veteran guys there, that's a nice added bonus for a quarterback coming in trying to figure stuff out.
Keanu Hill, Cody Epps, Chase Roberts. I mean, those are kind of the guys.
They're good players.
They had a lot of impact already last year. And then the tight end group is also effective. But, you know, you think about the turnover of a NFL caliber guy in Puka Nacua. I was so bummed that Gunnar Romney's career got just cut so short by injuries and how bad that was.
I mean, even Puka was out a lot too.
Yeah, but I mean, and how productive those guys were, even though they did miss you know, a handful of games. But Keanu had that insane Wyoming game where he caught 5 balls for 160 yards and a couple touchdowns. He had the 3 touchdown performance against Utah Tech. That was just in the first half, and so he's got tremendous potential to go into this thing. And you know, he and Cody Epps and Chase Roberts, all those guys have that potential to be the guy who catches all the balls. This dude's big, too. You think about that's what I like about Keanu Hill is that he's 6'4", 220, and throwing up to a guy like that, Scott, you had that in your career, a guy who's tall and lengthy and gets up in the air like that, that bails you out a lot. That gives you a lot of room for error if you're a quarterback. I mean, I don't know, how tall was Herman Moore? Probably 6'4", 6'5", right?
He was not very far off on my height. I mean,
he's a tall dude. And that's just such an advantage to be able to have that. So I just think about the next few days for BYU spring practice. You're going to get the closed scrimmage on Saturday. That's when the closed scrimmage on Saturday is when you kind of cross your fingers and hope nobody gets hurt, right? Because the closed scrimmage is the one where they're going to really, really go at it. The open to the public one, they dial it back a little bit more, not necessarily in the intensity, but they don't show a lot of stuff, right, in that public scrimmage. And so, you know, the guys will go at it a little bit because I think they can't not compete. But at the same time, guys like Keanu Hill, they're expecting, you know, he's a junior and he has a chance to put himself on the map of other wide receivers out of BYU who have even gone undrafted and been, you know, I think about Dax Milne, who didn't get a look at all basically in college, it seemed like. And he was an undrafted guy, but he's been on that roster for the Commanders the last couple of years and just found himself on a team.
So you mentioned something that just threw me off.
What up?
I haven't been able to think of anything else.
What is it?
In fact, I didn't even hear anything you just said. And it sounded really, really, really important.
It sounded really good.
Well, you said you mentioned Wyoming and Utah plays Wyoming in 2025 and 2027. 2025
oh my gosh.
Is at Laramie.
Maybe you just go, hey, I'm taking a sabbatical from the broadcast team for 1 year.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You know what? 2027, they come to, okay, let me ask you this. Will Kyle Whittingham be coaching either of those games?
2025.
You think he will?
I think he will, yeah.
You think he's good for another three seasons?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have said that maybe a year and a half ago,
I think what's sparked him
is the winning?
Well, that, but it's they keep recruiting really well. I mean, they had a great recruiting class.
On the flip side, he's probably just frustrated to bits about, you know, transfer portal and NIL.
I don't think that really bothers him too much. I think it's recruiting really well, and the college football playoffs expanding. And it's like, wow, that changes a whole lot of things, and that's a fun new wrinkle to college football that nobody's experienced, and I think we're all in for a massive treat when that happens. I do, across the board. You have a conference that's actually diminishing, so you might have a chance to win it or at least be, you know, a team to be considered at large. A lot of things are looking up. That'd be a fun thing to be a part of. And he's still young.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it just depends on how you look at it. You look at some of these guys who get in and coach, and they're like, because what is Nick Saban, 70 now?
Yeah, he's up there.
I think Nick Saban's 70 now. And you always have a coach or two that are 76, and they're still going at it, and they're looking for the next team. How old's Mack Brown? Who's the oldest coach? Jeremy, research team.
Is Paterno still coaching?
He's no longer with
he
us.
He was old. And BYU comes back on the schedule in 2024. So Utah, BYU are going to play each other.
He's got to be around for that one.
And 2025.
Okay.
And 2026. And 2027.
Look at that.
2028. Not 2029. And
77 years old, Frank Solich. Yeah. Who's he coach for? Oh, boy.
Solich?
He's got to read the fine. Is he Ohio? Is he the Bobcats? Oh, he just did this year. He just retired this year. 77 years old.
So if he retired, we need one that's active. Mack Brown?
Mack Brown, how old? 74? 75? He looks 80.
Mack Brown is the Mack
he's
Daddy.
Ron Jarowski's age.
He's old as dirt.
I think of Mack Brown as being old as the hills. I don't think of Ron, of Jaws as being as old. Yeah. But that's the magic of TV makeup. Okay, let's take a break.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, your NFL roundup right here, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. I'm watching a golf video. You're our local rules expert here, Scott. I like to err on the side of let's give the golfers the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
This guy has this video, and it looks like some form of a beetle. It's not like a dung beetle, but okay, I'm showing you the video. So I'm explaining to the listeners here as this is happening. There's this beetle that is next on the fringe, and it's next to the golf ball, and it starts pushing the golf ball. And the golf ball gets pushed down onto the green and gets within about, I don't know, 6 feet of the cup, as opposed to being 20 feet away. What's your ruling on that, Scott? It's nature. If a rules guy came in.
I don't know what the rule is. I'm sure they have a rule.
This bug pushes the ball onto the green, and it gets a nice roll, and it ends up going next to the cup versus being on the fringe.
Right.
Give the benefit. Look, that's just act of God situation, right? Isn't that part of the golf rules?
Of course.
Yeah. So you can't mess with that. If a bug helps you out, then there you go. Is it cheating to, like, jump on the green, too? Can you jump on the green next to where the ball is if it's, like, right on the edge of the cup? Because I've done that. I don't hit the ball, but I jump on it. I jump on the green and maybe knock
I don't think that will do anything, but.
You know how big I am. Come on. It'll do something.
Yeah.
NFL Roundup. Let's chat about it. Does your home need a new look for this year? RJS Exteriors can help you with that look. Tim Brown and his team standing by. Stucco, brick, James Hardy, siding, vinyl, whatever you need. They'll help you out. Give them a call if you want to get that done. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RJS Exteriors. Oh, boy. Elijah Moore, former Jets wideout, was traded yesterday.
Yes.
He can't leave well enough alone. You know that there's probably some bad blood because he did get traded. He says he is, quote, excited to play with a legit quarterback, end quote.
Okay.
Taking a little shot at Zach Wilson. But I think he's also ignoring the fact that he was probably going to be on the same team with Aaron Rodgers. Is Deshaun Watson going to live up to the $230 million of guaranteed money? Or is that just an impossible thing to ask?
Is Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
What? Don't look at me that way. It's okay to have a moment of silence.
Okay.
I really liked Deshaun Watson before. And I have to believe having a complete offseason, having a complete training camp, having all of his issues behind him, I think he's gonna be a good player. He's still really young. And you don't just all of a sudden become a bad player.
Right.
And, you know, having an opportunity to go, seriously, Elijah Moore can appreciate, because it was tough. It was tough with the Jets and how difficult things were with Zach Wilson and what was going on there. So I see when you put talent on the field, it just tends to rise to the top in the NFL. And I know a lot of people maybe are down on Deshaun Watson, but the guy hadn't played football in over a year and he doesn't have any training camp. They throw him in the last few games. He's not going to play good. No one would expect you to play good.
But when you go to the Browns and Aaron Rodgers could have been your quarterback and Elijah Moore goes, I get to play with a legit quarterback now.
If I'm a wide receiver, look, it's one of those. Aaron Rodgers is at the end of the rope here, and he's got a few good years left in him. I'm not sure how many he does have. But if you have a guy that's still young and has 10, 12 years, you go, I would rather get on that train than get on one that's really late. I mean, look at the guys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got a couple of years out of Tom Brady. I mean, really, the Super Bowl year was really good. The second year was still pretty good. And this past season was kind of a challenge. You know, so you get 2.5 good years out of someone as opposed to, you know, a decade or so. That I'd take the decade.
Do you, when you see guys who go from one team to another, and Elijah Moore has been kind of disgruntled for a good chunk of his career so far. I feel like it doesn't change much with guys. Like, how does a guy like Elijah Moore suddenly, like, you know.
Well, guys mature. I mean, look, if you're a guy that's complaining because you want the ball more, or you're when you're a wide receiver, Alex, you're stuck. You're at the mercy of the quarterback. I know we had Keanu Hill on the show here.
Yeah.
And he's like it's no joke. You're at the mercy of the quarterback. And if mm-hmm. you don't have a good rapport with the quarterback, or the quarterback's not very good, it's a long game. And that's just frustrating for people. So I don't have a problem with – I've never had a problem with wide receivers that want the ball more. Now, can you always deliver on that? I don't know. But most guys, I mean, there was Terrell Owens,
yeah.
You know, he was Terrell kind Owens. Of – but man, there have been a whole lot of wide receivers. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., I think people were a little, you know, kind of over. But, you know, guys mature. – You know, they can change. It doesn't bother me.
Next up on the old NFL roundup here. So the NFL, remember we were talking about Lamar Jackson and him having like a family friend negotiate a possible deal? So the NFL sent out a memo and they said, hey, just as a reminder, by way of announcement, if you're a non-certified agent trying to negotiate with a team, or assist with Lamar Jackson in the contract. The team who listens to those to the that has the back and forth with it, they're on the hook for about $55,000 in fines. So if they roll up with a non-certified agent to negotiate and the team starts getting into negotiations, they could get fined $55,000.
But that's the hard part about this, and we've kind of touched on this before. Lamar Jackson's a football player. He doesn't want to sit in an office making phone calls to 32 teams in the NFL.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, what kind of interests you? You know what? And then he's got to sit down. And guess what he's got to do? He's got to negotiate with all these teams.
Yeah.
I mean that's a laborious task on top of getting yourself ready to play a football game. How do you do that? I mean, I'm just telling you.
And in his case, he hasn't yet. I mean, he's not getting a deal. He's not getting a deal right now. And when you're not getting a deal done, like, I mean,
look, when you were 25 years old, Alex, or however old Lamar Jackson is, maybe he's 27, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And when you're a football player, you really don't know anything. You've gotten a degree on professional sports. That's your degree. As a player, okay? You don't know how to be the coach. You don't know how to be the general manager. You don't know how to be an agent. And you really, if you're smart, and the smart people surround themselves with a really good team, a team that can really benefit. I mean, you're a $100 million company is what you are as an athlete.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it.
And you don't go on the cheap for 3%.
Right, especially when he
the cost of doing business.
He would have already had a deal done by now, right?
Probably.
And it might not be with the Ravens, but at the very least, that he probably would have. Because creating demand for a player, it's insane that a guy like Lamar Jackson, and people are just looking at it and blaming the fact, oh, people aren't giving him a fair shake. But I'm like, but it does help to have somebody who can drum up some positive vibes about this guy, want some teams fighting over him. It's insane that
a lot of agents will have contacts in the media. They'll have contacts with other teams. They can create a narrative where they can make, you know, something move with Lamar Jackson. He's too good of a player. It's just silly.
Let's chat about your guy CJ Stroud real quick here, Scott. This is a guy who
really quick. All right.
Well, I mean, real quick isn't. I'll take a few minutes here. I'm fine with it. Because you saw him work out in his pro day. Sometimes I look and I go, I don't know what I'm looking at here that's going to be great. Yeah, they can make great throws to the guys they threw to, and they're all against air,
Exactly.
And so I wonder how you get a good workout of
that. So you get a good in an environment like that, you should be 100 for 100%, and every throw should be right on the money. So when the guy catches the ball, he catches the ball going full speed
in stride,
and boom, he goes.
Yeah.
And I was watching Zach Wilson's workout, and I was watching C.J. Stroud's workout, and I go, okay,
there's a difference.
There's a difference, and it's too easy to dismiss and just say, okay. Like, I'll just tell you, I think it's harder when you have to go work out against air, because there's a lot of things that you have to create in your mind. It's just very easy to get complacent in those situations. And what I really liked about C.J. Stroud is he made one throw that was a little bit off, and it wasn't off by much, and you know what? He was not happy about it. And I'm just telling you, that's the difference. And then you watch
– like
you
know, a guy reached maybe a little bit just too kind far of, forward yeah,
and
or something.
And that's when you have a guy that just says perfection is – anything less is unacceptable.
Well, we watched Bryce Young's pro day – just even a few throws, and we're like, oh,
it's a little high, it's a little late, it's not quite the same thing, and you really have to get yourself in this just like gritty game day mindset for your pro day, and you've got all these people around you watching, but that's what happens in a game. You got thousands of people. C.J. Stroud is going to be the first pick.
I'm saying is that enough for you to watch that? You also have the benefit or the bias. I don't know how you want to look at it. You watched him set that ridiculous record of the Rose Bowl 2 years ago.
Right. And you go
a year and a half ago.
And you feel like, man, can you guys cover anyone, Utah? And you know what? They were. like a lot of those throws in that game were like, whoa, that was like right on the money. I mean, it was like like dialed in right on the money. And those are, they were, there were a lot of throws in his workout yesterday. You go, that's a pro throw right there. That's a throw you're going to have to make in the NFL. That is a pro throw. And what it is a lot of these throws are on a line. There's a little bit of arc, but there it's more on the line, and it's got more velocity to the ball because he's got to get there a lot quicker. And he just, you know, he just had it. I mean, immediately I went online and looked it up yesterday, and I was just curious about it. And immediately I just go, different. This is like so different from what you saw from Zach Wilson. And I really wish, and I really actually would like to do it with you. Seriously, I'd like to get a monitor. Here's Zach Wilson's pro day. Here's C.J. Stroud. And here's the difference.
Or even here's Bryce Young. Just look at all three and go.
I don't know what it is.
Did you see that?
Well, I do know what it is.
You see Cam Newton tried to copy that Zach Wilson throw?
Yeah.
And I was like, what are we doing here? That's what you're going to do to try to show everybody you're ready to get back to the league?
The problem is there's just not that many years left with Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And he didn't look good in New England. He really didn't. He's going to have a tough time. But C.J. Stroud is going to, he's going to be a good player. And I don't know that Bryce Young isn't either. I mean, but I like C.J. Stroud.
All right. I like that. And you know what? Now I go.
And you know where he's going?
Now I tell all my friends, Scott says C.J. Stroud's the guy.
He's
going to be a Carolina Panther.
Yeah, and you know who his coach is? I know people are, I'm just telling you, Frank Reich knows how to, he understands quarterbacks. I'm just telling you, he does.
Kind of blew it, though, with Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan, though.
Yeah, they might not have been the right ones. It's a little.
Might have been a little bit too optimistic of what he could have done with those guys. But I agree with you. Like, if you're a quarterback, you like getting drafted by a guy who's a quarterback.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. You've got something crazy on your face right now.
Yeah, I'm all watching right. Cam Rising, or not Cam
or
Rising.
Or Cam Newton throw the ball,
He doesn't look that good.
Okay, we'll come back. 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Stay with us. We're going to have our two-minute drill next.
So.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Carey. And it is time for that old two-minute drill. We don't have a lot of time, but we still have a lot to talk about. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things. You ready to go, Alex?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Hurry, hurry, hurry. We got to get on the ball. On the ball.
Throw it to me, Scott.
Fans think the NCAA tried to sabotage UConn by booking the team in a terrible Las Vegas hotel, the Luxor.
How is that a terrible one?
I stayed in the Luxor. I thought it was just fine.
That's the pyramid, right?
Speaking of, you know, smoking.
Inside buildings.
I can't handle the smoke inside.
Vegas is funny.
So to me, I would feel like I would be sabotaged anywhere I went.
I've been into the Luxor, not stayed there. I think I did the buffet there once because it was one of the less expensive ones. And, you know, you're in there and you're kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a pyramid in here. It looks like. Looks like a pyramid.
And the rooms are kind of staggered.
Let me give you the hierarchy. If they would have stayed at Excalibur, I would have probably put my nose up at it a little
bit. Would you?
Oh, yeah. Excalibur is like $19 a night on a regular night.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Why have I not stayed there? I seriously don't care.
Any place I can just plant myself. It's fine. Well, maybe that does it. Would that motivate you? Stay in a crappy hotel? Hey, man. Stay in a crappy hotel and you'll be working your way. Come on, man. Yeah, they're the one. They're winning it. So come on.
All right. Apparently, the NCAA is not allowing the women's tournament to, I guess, play their roll-up song. They feel it's an unfair advantage.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It has to be a neutral site. So
even though
it's played at home site.
It's like having both bands performing at.
They probably don't have the music for both.
Oh, I think they can get it.
They played, I guess Virginia Tech played
Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman.
But they had their fans sing it. Can you sing with a song that. Sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillows tight. Like, what is that?
Is that really the song?
Yeah, isn't it? That's the right one.
Okay. All I know is that got me fired up. I'm like, wow.
It's like when,
I'm a changed
like
individual marching, right now.
What's his name? Jim Gaffigan does a full bit. He's like, you know, I love about marching bands. They can take any good song and absolutely ruin it. Nobody asked you to, but hey, you know what? We're going to take this song and we're going to ruin it.
I'll tell you who didn't ruin it. Ohio State.
No, they're good. Their band is good.
Yeah.
Did you see that NBA 2K with their updated rankings have Walker Kessler as the second highest rated rookie?
Ooh.
If we're just going off of video games, then that's the only important thing to my kids.
He's on his way to NBA Rookie of the Year.
I love it. We're joined in studio. For the final time this evening, he is Mark from Wasatch Medical Clinic. Mark, what's going on, dude?
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks for hanging out all day with us. Yeah.
How you doing?
We have a fun time. Mark comes in, and we have all these fun back and forths, not even just on the air. But like I said, I think people would pay extra to hear Scott talk about the weird stuff he does during the breaks. So, Mark, guys are listening, and they've heard the ED stuff before on our station. They've heard the ED they've heard Wasatch Medical Clinic kind of roll out what it is that you guys do. But really, what can we tell guys that you say, hey, we treat this all the time. Just come in and ask. Like, let's just talk about it. That's like the very beginning of it. Let's go.
Talk about it and then understand, too, that you'll feel much better about it after you go through it. So it weighs on guys. It weighs on their minds, their quality of life. Guys will start avoiding those intimate moments. They're embarrassed by this. So there's a lot of negative associated with ED. On the positive side, if you do something about it, you're going to feel better. Your quality of life can improve. Your intimate moments can improve. So there's a lot of positive that can come from dealing with this. So guys, don't not talk about it. Don't sit on the sideline. Give us a call at Wasatch Medical Clinic. We have a breakthrough treatment. It is called acoustic wave therapy. The great thing about acoustic wave therapy, well, lots of great things. A, we're treating the root cause, which in most guys is a lack of blood flow. So we're helping to get that blood flowing again. There is no downtime with acoustic wave therapy. There is no pain involved. There are no side effects either. So this is a great option for you guys out there. And even if you're one of those guys that's taking the pills, you know that there are timing issues involved with the pills, potential side effects as well. So the pills only treat the symptoms. They do nothing to treat the root cause.
A lot of clinical studies have been done on this type of technology, independent of Wasatch Medical. You have over 60 or around 60 on your website. What are some of these studies saying about your technology?
Yeah, and what you have to realize about these studies, guys, they come from 5 different countries. So it's not just here in the U.S. Men across the world are dealing with this. The studies, the bottom line, when you break it all down, shows both the safety and efficacy of utilizing acoustic wave therapy in treating the root cause of ED.
If guys are listening right now, then let's talk about a deal you can run for them, because when you come in, you always have some free.
Absolutely, guys. Give us a call. Call us today. Don't put it off any longer. We will set you up with that initial exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound with our doctor at no cost. In addition to that, you will receive a gift which can provide rapid results for those intimate moments. You need to call today, though. Take advantage of this offer. Don't put it off any longer. The number, 801-901-8000,
801-901-8000. 801-901-8000, wasatchmedicalclinic.com, 801-901-8000. Mark, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Love
appreciate
having
it.
Man. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More of the show to come. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for being with us right here. It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Final segment of the day. Scott's giving me some homework. I have to go back now, and I have to watch CJ Stroud's workout, and I'm all about it. I'm gonna put in the work, and I'm gonna see what this kid's got, and then I'm gonna be all in on the Panthers. My Panthers. Can anybody say my Panthers?
I thought we were all in on the Jets.
Oh shoot, we forgot. Yes, we didn't look. I gotta look into the. You're probably halfway down the road to buying season tickets right now, dude. Did you, like yesterday, did you go and investigate a little bit more? I mean, I feel like...
No, I'm ready. Whenever you're ready to go, let's do it.
Mm. Okay.
$100 a game.
$100 a game per ticket. Okay. My heavens. This is a weird day we live in, right? After, I can't remember, I mean, it was like basically every game that I've seen lately, it seems like. Cigars are being lit up, right? Joe Burrow did it in the national championship game when they won at LSU, right?
Yes, of course.
Now, LSU got in trouble because OBJ came in and was making it rain. Hundies, right? And that's a no-no. Now it's okay, it seems like. But they were all smoking cigars then, and you watch guys smoke cigars. Stetson Bennett did it this year. Okay, here's all you need to know about the NCAA, Scott, and how they don't actually have anything to do with the college football playoff. The NCAA suspended Ferris State's Tony Anese for their head coach for a future playoff game after two of his players lit cigars in a locker room while winning the national title in December. They won the national championship, Ferris State. Now, what is that, Division II? It's not FCS, right? It's Division II.
Right.
But still, FCS all the way down. When they say, oh, it was a smoke-free locker room, okay, which locker rooms in 2023 are they like a designated smoking area by the back lockers? No way. None of them. But the NCAA has to – I think they just, Scott, feel like they need to punish people still. They're like, we don't have much power anymore. What can we do? Well, we have this cigar-smoking situation. Okay, after we beat up on Arizona State, let's head down and we'll and check and see if BYU has any minor violations we can hit him with. And then I want you to go and hit this guy with a playoff suspension because players lit cigars in the locker room.
Look, smoking's bad for you.
I know it
That's
is.
That's all I have to say. It's just like we shouldn't,
oh, here comes
we shouldn't condone it in any way.
I don't
any
either.
Way, shape, or form.
You know what's funny is watching shape, Disney stuff form. Now and it's all
smoking depictions, tobacco depictions.
And my kids are like, what's that guy doing? I'm all, that's a pipe. You've never heard of it, but it's a pipe. And that's all that Popeye does is smoke pipes and eat spinach. Okay, we'll take the long break here. We'll be back tomorrow on another edition of Unrivaled. We'll see you then, everybody. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.